Live from Toronto, it's Hebsy on Sports, episode number 258. Hi there, sports fans. Mark Hebscher here in the Little Italy studio. And we got some little Italian dogs running around. I don't know if they are. I didn't understand the dog's bark there, but I think it was in Italian. Like, ciao, ciao. Anyway, that's what's going on here in downtown Toronto. There's Toronto Mike running things from the mothership. And we have a fine show for you today. The Raptors snapped their losing streak in Philadelphia without Pascal Siakam. Imagine how much better they would be if they had Pascal playing. But load management, if it worked for Kawhi Leonard, it'll work for Pascal Siakam. No reason he has to play all 82 games. The Maple Leafs get ready for a back-to-back against the Flames here tonight and the Sabres in Buffalo tomorrow. And guess who's playing goal for the Leafs tomorrow night? You're not going to be able to guess. He's never played an NHL game.
Oh.
That's what they're saying. Three Blue Jays win Silver Slugger Awards as the best hitters at their position in the American League. This is a team that's going to have more personal accolades, more awards, more gold gloves, more Silver Sluggers, and nothing to show for it as far as playoffs go. Nothing. The greatest team ever to not make the playoffs. Oh, my God. A couple of Canadians into the semifinals at the Stockholm Tennis Open, and the annual Athlete of the Year awards will be handed out soon, which begs the question, how much longer are they going to name one of these awards after a known racist who wrote some terrible things about minorities? World Cup qualifying tennis, golf, and more, it's all ahead. But first, let's say hello to the hardest working man in podcasting, Toronto Mike. That's you.
Hebsy man, happy Friday. Nice to see you.
Same to you. And we've had some nice weather this week. We're really into such a great season for sports. Just everything is going on.
On the red carpet, I was thinking about, it's been fantastic cycling weather. And then you mentioned you had a great pickleball match this past week.
Right. We played yesterday. The wind was really howling. Now, I've played tennis in the wind. I've played frisbee in the wind. I've played football in the wind, basketball in the wind, which isn't really that difficult.
Right.
But pickleball in the wind is tough because you're dealing with a wiffle ball. Yeah. And once that ball is airborne and the wind starts whiffing it, so yeah. I'm aiming my serve 30 feet right of where I want it to land because I know that the wind is going to carry. I hope the wind's going to carry it, you know, 30 feet right back the other way. But if the wind gusts, it carries it 50 feet and it's out of bounds. Anyway.
So pickleball is tough in the wind, but actually that frisbee golf is really tough in the wind too.
Yeah. The wind makes it difficult. And golf certainly is difficult. That's why we didn't play yesterday morning. It was just too windy.
And here's something we might have in common, close enough anyway. So last Sunday, I actually was in Waterloo with my boy to see my boy in Waterloo. And
you were, huh?
Yeah, and that's not too far. You know, Kitchener-Waterloo, you can walk between the two.
You pretty much can, yeah. Oh, I know Waterloo quite well and Kitchener as well. We were there. I was there visiting my son the other day before we went to Tews Falls for a lovely hike to the Dundas Peak in Tews Falls. It was quite lovely.
But you mentioned something about, I guess, because somebody has fallen or something, they put up a whole bunch of fences. What have they done to Tews Falls?
Well, I think once the selfie stick became popular, tourists flocked to this particular conservation area, this area that I used to, every morning when I lived in Dundas, used to hike through and not see another human being for hours. Fox, deer, all kinds of critters out there, occasional person walking their dog. But it was a beautiful hike, and it was great to get that fresh air in your lungs, and the views of Spencer Gorge and the falls were wonderful. And then the tourists started to come, and then sometimes they would fall into the gorge because they're trying to get that great picture, and they would disobey the rules and go down into dangerous areas. And then you know what it costs for a rescue squad to go down there?
I can't imagine.
Thousands. Yeah. Taxpayer dollars. So they just said, screw this. And they put up fencing and you can't go here anymore. It's too bad.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It's not the same.
It's you're right. This whole Instagram culture has created these unnecessary risks to get the right shot. And really, what are you doing it for? You're doing it for the gram. Like, I mean, give me a break.
I know. But the hiking part of it is, like, I take my hiking boots. I'm not wearing sneakers. You've got people there in flip-flops, people in Cinderella slippers, ballet slippers or whatever.
Right.
And I'm going, are you kidding me? You can barely walk in those things. You're going to now stand on the edge of a cliff so you can get a good picture taken?
Well, and speaking anyway. Of Kitchener-Waterloo, where we both were the past week, Peter DeMarco says hello from Kitchener-Waterloo. He's tuned in.
Now, is Peter in
life.
Kitchener or is he in Waterloo?
Let us know, Peter. Are you in Kitchener or Waterloo? Because they're not
or
the same.
You could be. They could be in Ayr or New Dundee. Ooh. Could be in New Hamburg. You know, could be in Breslau.
Wow, you do know that area. Well
these,
done.
Name all these communities. I could be from Elmira and say that you're from Kitchener-Waterloo.
Remember, they filmed Bowling for Dollars in Kitchener. Or Waterloo, well, one
that,
of the two.
No, that was no. That was one of many Bowling for Dollars shows.
Right? The CKC.
The Canadian
one.
Version, you mean?
The CKC.
With Bill Incall and Jeff Hutchison?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, remember, I went to school in Kitchener, baby. I worked at Channel 13 for a while.
Right.
Yeah, I betcha.
All right,
let's get to some sports.
Okay.
A week ago, you may recall, on the show, I was trumpeting the Toronto Raptors and even suggesting that they could contend for the Eastern Conference Championship. One particular fan disagreed with me. I said, what are you talking about, Hebsy? And then during the week, they lose three in a row. And I'm thinking, what the hell have I said? What did I do here? Am I out of my mind? Mike is right. They have no business being in the top echelon of the East. So after losing in Boston on Wednesday night, by the way, their first road loss of the year, the Raptors limped into Philadelphia without Pascal Siakam, who was load managed because of his shoulder. So he's not in action last night. The Sixers, though, were without two of their big guns, Joel Embiid, who's in COVID protocol, and Ben Simmons, who just wants to be traded. He might be the most obnoxious player in pro sports right now. Right. Him and Aaron Rodgers. Although, no, Rodgers is worse.
Right.
Way worse. Ben Simmons just doesn't want to play in Philly. So the Raptors took advantage. Freddie VanVleet stole the show in a 115-109 win. By the way, whenever I did Sportsline, I hated having to give the full score of a basketball game. You know what I mean? 3-2, 4-1.
Right.
That's easy.
Yeah.
137-113. 113-100. Anyway, the Raptors won 115-109. I would just say the Raptors won by 6. But of course, if you had the over-under bet going, you'd go, what was the total number of points?
Right.
And then you got to add 115 and 109 really quickly to see if you won your bet. Anyway, FEV, 32.6 rebounds, 7 dimes, and shot 6 of 11 from distance to lead the way. The guy is a stud, if you didn't know that.
And that
without
last
Kyle
shot,
Lowry on the team,
that last
but with
shot
his mother
was,
in the stands.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of neat, right? That she's repping the team still wearing
well,
the Raptors
well, she lives in
gear.
Philly.
Sure, but she wears the Raptors gear, and she's clearly a big Raptors yeah. fan still, even though
she
her boys
she has all that Raptors gear. What's she going to do with it? She can break it out once, twice a year when the Raptors come to town.
I just want to point the Fred, because I actually watched the fourth quarter. That's why I'm so keen.
You did?
Yeah, I actually watched it.
Well, tell me what happened then.
It was fantastic. And the Fred VanVleet shot from the corner it had shades of the Kawhi Leonard four bouncer, because it had that effect where it was dropping in and then it kind of buckled up and bounced around yeah. a bit. But anyways, it was yeah, a
nothing will compare to that.
No, well, God, no.
It did. He didn't swish it.
I'm not suggesting.
But did you see his celebration after he made that
yeah,
basket?
The big balls. He's got big balls.
Sam Cassell. Right. Who's an assistant coach for Philly. He was right there on the sidelines. And here's VanVleet giving it the old Sam Cassell.
Okay.
I can't do it here on the show.
You have to stand up to do it.
A strut. It was a strut. So, yeah, good for the Raptors. OG Anunoby and Gary Trent, 20 each. Do I have to say Gary Trent Jr.?
Yeah, GTJ.
Do I have to say Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Is there anybody that doesn't know who I'm talking about if I just say Gary Trent?
That's like when we would say Cal Ripken. Like, you can just say Ripken. Like, we knew
right.
it wasn't Cal Senior right. you were talking about.
Thank you. Because there's just so many players that have Junior on the end of their name now. Just so many of them.
Right.
And I'm sure that they would just like to be known. I don't think Vladdy is going to be, hey, Vladdy Junior, how are you? No. Hey, Vladdy.
Right.
Right. Maybe he just doesn't answer to Vladdy Junior.
And Gary Trent.
By the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did a really good interview in English when he won that award the other day. And, you know, like I've been saying all along, Vladdy knows how to speak English, but he's not comfortable enough to say it in front of a television camera or a radio microphone for fear that he gets the wrong tense or he says something that's misinterpreted. It's not his first language. He can speak it, but not comfortably enough. So I understand that. I'm cool with that. I still think Hazel May should learn to speak Spanish. Meet him halfway. And Arash Badani, halfway. A little Espanol. Habla Espanol. Vlad, I've been to the Dominican Republic. I can speak pigeon Spanish, I guess. But I would like, if I was doing that job, I would like to learn more. The same way I learned better French when I worked in Montreal, so I could communicate with the French speaking population and especially the athletes that I was interviewing. You know, you meet them halfway. Anyway, back to basketball. Where was I? Oh, Chris Boucher, speaking of French speaking. Mm-hmm. I believe he does. I'm positive he does speak French. I love the commercial he does for that fast food place too, where they're looking up at him. Is that one of those Mediterranean places where they look up at Chris Boucher?
I think so.
It's you. Anyway, he had 17. Rookie Scotty Barnes had 13. Raps now 7-6, good for 8th in the East, only 2 games back of Washington and Chicago, who are both 8-3. And like I said, Mike, the East is wide open. 11 teams are within 3 games of first place. I like that. Raps now 5-1 on the road, but just 2-5 at home. So this idea of, the Raptors coming home for the first time, they're not familiar. And even the fans are just kind of getting into it. They lost that terrible game last Friday night that I was at against Cleveland by 1 point. But the fans are still trying to relearn what it's like to be at a Raptors game.
Now, of course, you're doing
indoors with each other.
A humorous bit here, of course, because that would not be an acceptable excuse for Hebsy Man.
No, it's not. But I'm just saying that they're getting used to it. The other one is, why is it that at Leaf games, at the most inopportune times, 5 or 6 people start going, "Go Leafs, go." And then a few others join in while the shift is going on. "Go Leafs, go." And then if the Leafs don't get a shot on goal or a scoring chance in 5 seconds, the chant just dies.
Right.
The other one is, "Let's go Raptors," is much more upbeat and right. If it was, "Go Raptors, go," it would sound sucky. So can we change the "Go Leafs, go" chant to, "Let's go Maple Leafs," or something like that. Duh, 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 duh,
it's got to be 2 syllables.
Let's go
for that.
Raptors.
Like, we're too many.
Let's go. Duh, duh.
Or too
let's
few syllables.
Let's go Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to go when you got the Maple Leafs. Nobody wants to say Maple Leafs. That's no, 3
but
syllables.
Do Habs fans go? Do they all scream out, "Go Habs, go"? And the whole arena goes, "Go Habs, go"? Nah, once in a while. I don't know. I don't like the "go so-and-so go." It's just too easy. "Go Leafs, go."
They should add you to the game ops.
Go Leafs, go! Sucks. Okay, Raptors are home to the Pistons tomorrow. That's right, Saturday night. Basketball night in Canada.
Hey.
So the Pistons tomorrow at home and then off to the road. Portland, Utah, Sacramento, and Golden State all next week. So I would take a split on that trip. Mm. 2-2. My worry, though, is Fred VanVleet's going to get burned out, that they've got to find some minutes for some other players because he played 40 minutes last night. He played 36 in Boston the night before. The guy's going to end up being a puddle of sweat by the end of the season unless he gets a little load management because there's no Kyle Lowry.
Can I read your mind? You want to say something to this effect.
If you could read my mind.
Hey, when is that Massey Hall show? Is that tonight? When is that? It's coming up. Okay. You're going to suggest Fred VanVleet needs a blow.
Mm-hmm. That's my suggestion.
Right. He needs a blow.
And you remember with Kawhi, we bitched and complained, but as long as they won and they went 17-5 with him not in the lineup, you got to learn to win without your best player sometime.
That was a much deeper team though. What a team that was. Holy smokes.
That's true. They were. So Raps at home Saturday night, which means the Leafs, Hockey Night in Canada is tonight, Friday night, against the Calgary Flames, who lost to Montreal last night. I don't think the fans went, "Go Habs, go," at all in that game. The Leafs have crept into second place in the Atlantic Division, 5 back of the Panthers. Calgary has looked pretty good this year, 7-3-3, good for 4th in the Pacific. The Leafs travel down the highway to Buffalo for a Saturday night game against the Sabres. Of note, Joseph Woll is expected to make his NHL debut. Right. In net for the Leafs because Jumpin' Jack Campbell gets the call tonight. Mm. And really, if you were going to find a place to give Jack Campbell a blow, it would be tomorrow night, right? In Buffalo against the Sabres, who are not a very good team, even though they got off to a good start.
I love that expression. It feels very 70s. Like that would be like a 19, like you need a blow. It feels like a 70s expression. A blow.
Joseph Woll. And if they play Justin Hall and Taylor Hall was playing on the other team, so, he had a guy named Saul.
Do you remember there was a time when the Jays had, they had a Wells and they had a Wills, a Frank Wills, a David Wells.
And Willis.
And they had a Ward, which is a little different, but they had a bunch of W's and they all sounded a little similar. So
I guess it happens. I'm sure you can find. Actually, you know what? I had it.
Go ahead.
What team did I have?
Because I just remembered a great Sabres. I remember there was a moment when Andrechuk, Howardchuk, and Malarchuk were all on the same team. So three Chucks.
I love those. What was the one I had? Right. There was a thing about Elroy Face, who was a relief pitcher who finished his career with the Montreal Expos. Was a great pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And so I thought, Face, that's a good one. What about the all body parts team?
Right.
Started coming, and I thought of Jeff Finger, of course, for in hockey, but then Raleigh Fingers. Right. And then you got Bill Hands and Barry Foote and Ted Beard and Bartolo Colon, right? A colon.
Yeah, but you want to know the best of all?
Jim Ray Hart.
There's a player, a baseball player, who has four body parts in his name. You ready for this?
I know. Tony Armas.
Right. Tony Armas. Tony Armas.
But Armas itself is not a body part.
No.
That was a deep dive.
But it's funny.
But you had like Jim Ray Hart. Okay, there's a heart.
Yeah.
You had Bill Keister. Keister is an expression for behind.
Sure.
Fall on your keister. You had Heine Manush. Heine is the same thing as a keister, basically, right? Anyway, just coming up with names of body parts. Silly, silly stuff. There was another one. I think it was the butcher shop. Pittsburgh Pirates had Ray Lamb, Bob Veal, Bob Moose.
Right.
And I don't know.
That's good.
Jimmy Poulet or something like that.
It's good stuff.
Anyway. Okay. The Senators, Ottawa Senators, had nine guys out with COVID last night against the Kings. Lost 2-0. Nine guys out with COVID. They had 13 players available. And then after the game, when they were talking to DJ Smith, the coach, he's like, what am I going to do? I got 13 guys. I'm looking down the bench. I got half a team. You know, we did our best. But you'll have to excuse us for not winning last night. Or even scoring a goal. We didn't have any players.
You know, this speaks to two things. But one is it speaks to the effectiveness of the vaccine, because clearly this Delta variant you can still get your COVID with the full vaccination. There's a lot of breakthrough cases here. But as I just chatted with this ER physician, ER doctor in Hamilton, and he was saying overwhelmingly when they admit someone with COVID, overwhelmingly they're an unvaccinated person. Like you watch these nine players who have COVID. None will require hospitalization because they're fully vaccinated.
Right. But still to get it.
Oh, yeah.
And you are possibly playing against players. Like if you go to the States and you play against his name?
You can't play
Bertuzzi
with
from Detroit.
Right.
You couldn't, right? Because he's unvaccinated.
Right.
And he can't come to Canada.
Give it to grandma.
Kyrie Irving in basketball.
Yeah, right.
Rodgers. Hey, that's the story. Okay. Bob Murray resigned as executive vice president and GM of the Anaheim Ducks the other day after allegations of improper professional conduct. The move is effective immediately, and Murray will enroll in an alcohol abuse program. The decision was made one day after the Ducks placed Murray on administrative leave pending an internal investigation. Anaheim has not specified when these complaints were made or how many people have come forward. I'm sure it wasn't just one person. So, Mike, this is not a surprise, as the NHL has a hotline to report such abuse. And it appears the complaints and allegations have come via this hotline. Imagine if something like this was put in place 20 years ago. More. You can, you know, look, they did it with, I mean, police departments did it with tips, right? It's all 222 tips if you've got something about a crime. No one will know it was you. Complete anonymity. Why didn't they have this set up? Because they didn't think anything was wrong. Why should we investigate this stuff? People were afraid to complain because they lose their jobs. Anyway, so this is great. Great news for pro sports because these organizations are now being closely scrutinized. And not just pro sports. All sports and all organizations should be as well. There should not be any culture where there's intimidation, fear, abuse of any kind. It's terrible. However, there are other organizations which should also be scrutinized besides sports, such as the Toronto Star, which has handed out an award for Athlete of the Year since 1936, despite the fact that the award is named after a racist writer by the name of Lou Marsh. So how is it that the Cleveland baseball team and the Washington football team and others have been forced to change their names. Men like John A. McDonald, George Washington, who used to be heroes, are now known as slave owners, having statues taken down, names taken off schools. So it's okay for the Toronto Star to continue to glorify someone who called people coons and macaroni eaters by having an award named after him. But I'm not going to go on here because, Mike, you talked to the head of the Lou Marsh Selection Committee, the man who's responsible for organizing and ensuring that the vote takes place and that the award is handed out to the recipient of the top athlete in Canada, male or female, professional or amateur, as voted on by the Lou Marsh Selection Committee. Damian Cox, right?
Yes, I did. This week. This is Friday, right? Yeah, earlier this week, Damian Cox was in my backyard, and he mentioned the words Lou Marsh, and I instantly thought of my buddy and co-host Mark Hebsher. That's you, by the way. Now, I didn't have a moment to pull the clip, but I think I could actually start playing from where I have the right now, and I think we'll hear it. You want to listen in on what?
Well, essentially, if you have anything else to add prior to the clip.
Just that I asked him about how can they name this award after somebody, and I hope I have my facts right, Hebsy, because I was thinking off the top of my head. I remember the anti-Indigenous rhetoric, and he was clearly, so there was some hate towards Indigenous peoples. But now you tell me if I'm right. Nazi sympathizer, or was he just he was like in favor of the Berlin Games? What can you remember?
He was
about
in
that?
Favor of the Berlin Games, while others wanted to boycott the games, other sports writers and such.
Okay.
And he was in very tight with the Canadian Olympic Committee. He was in a conflict of interest. He wanted to see the Olympics go on, even though he knew and others knew of the atrocities that were going on in Nazi Germany starting in 1933.
So it might
have been
right.
That would have been David Halton's father, Matthew Halton, who wrote for the Toronto Daily Star and wrote 27 articles after he returned from Germany. He had gone twice to Germany in 1933. And that's when Nazism began, when Hitler became Chancellor of Germany in 1933.
Right.
So leading up to the Olympic Games, it was well known that there were atrocities against Jews, especially, and others. Kristallnacht had taken place, all this. And he had written extensively in the Toronto Daily Star. And Lou Marsh knew about this because Lou Marsh was the sports editor of the Toronto Daily Star. Yet he still was against the boycott. In other words, let's win Olympic medals. The heck with what's going on. The heck with who's being persecuted. That's not a Nazi sympathizer, but it is someone who was ignored the facts and ignored humanity in order to chase Olympic glory and his own glory too, because he knew all these people and was in cahoots with the Canadian Olympic Committee. He was probably an extension of the public relations department of the Canadian Olympic Committee, glorifying Canadian athletes and their pursuit of excellence, as opposed to human rights and social issues in Nazi Germany, the country that was hosting these games. Right. And let me tell you another thing. There were several athletes who boycotted the games, Canadian athletes. Sammy Lovespring, the boxer, was one that I can think of. What was the other one? Eva Dowse, a high jumper. And so it was well known that there were a lot of people, athletes and otherwise, that did not want Canada to participate. And Lou Marsh himself said, Canada has no real reason for dropping out of the Olympics unless Great Britain decides to withdraw her team. So that's nice and convenient. If Great Britain's not going to pull out, why should Canada? Anyway.
So before I play this, I may have misremembered the specifics there and have referred to him as a Nazi sympathizer, which may be a step too far here. But let me, if you don't mind, I'm going to press play
racist,
on this.
Racist is good enough. Okay. Nazi sympathizer to add might be a bit much, but still, racist is bad.
So here, let's just listen in here. Let's see where I'm at here.
Don't know. I haven't talked to Jim.
You said the words, of course, because you said Lou Marsh, and my co-host on Friday mornings of Hebsy on Sports is Mark Hebsher, who's been adamant that he's shared quotes from Lou Marsh, and he's got some evidence of Lou Marsh being anti-Semitic and using some anti-Indigenous language in his writings, and I'm just curious if there's any conversations about changing the name of that award.
So what I can tell you is there's an ongoing discussion and there's a process of trying to, I think this pull down the statue, take this name off here sometimes.
Oh, like with Ryerson and Dundas.
Yeah, sometimes it's done very quickly. I think that this is something that's come up on occasion over the years, not just from Mark.
Right.
And I think it's something that what we decided to do and what we're going to try to do is try to study. Go back and let's find out what this guy actually said. Let's not just cherry pick a few things. Mm-hmm. Let's find out what he said. Let's try to put it within the context of his times. And if it's appropriate to move on to a new name and retire his name, then maybe that's something we'll look at. But I can tell you this, you know, I've invested a lot of time in the Lou Marsh process. It is the most prestigious award to any athlete in Canada. And I'm not going to do something I'm not going to advocate doing something just quickly because someone can peel off a quote. Now, we really worked hard in the past few years of trying to diversify our voting committee. This year, I'm proud to say we'll have our first Indigenous voter. We will have our first Paralympic voter. We have people from across the country, and we're still working on getting people. So it's an ongoing process to make sure this process is representative of Canada. And I think part of that is making sure that we have the right name on the trophy, and we're gonna make sure we do. And if it's decided down the road that it's time to move on, then we'll move on.
Okay, good. I'm glad I got that straight. So there's an ongoing discussion, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
But Damien said, let's not just cherry pick. And I think that's unfair. Because usually what you do is you cherry pick in a person's life to find, you know, horrible things or great things. That's kind of what we do. Now, are we going to go over all of his writings? No, of course not. It's impossible. And try to read between the lines. So what you do is you do your research. Which I did. And 2 years ago, I believe, Mike, in December 2019, mm-hmm. I had brought this up. So that's 2 years. It's not, you know, rash decision.
Right.
But I think of it this way. Matthew Halton of the Toronto Star wrote these observations March 30th, 1933, after returning from Germany. Quote, I saw a parade of hundreds of children between the ages of 7 and 16 carrying the swastika and shouting at intervals, the Jews must be destroyed. So that's in the Toronto Daily Star. Lou Marsh is the sports editor. He knows Matthew Halton's not lying, but he chooses to ignore that for what he thinks is the greater good and line his own pockets, conflict of interest, whatever. So is that cherry picking something? That particular thing, he's not saying anything there, but let's go back before that. What was his attitude prior to that? 1909, he writes this terrible thing. And in context, he writes about an Indigenous runner, Tom Longboat, who's running against, believe the man's Dier Pironi, who is Italian. He calls Pironi a macaroni eater, and he calls Longboat an Indigenous runner as he overtakes Pironi in a race in Buffalo. Quote, he was smiling like a coon in a watermelon patch. January 4th, 1909. You can read the whole article if you want. It's in the Toronto Star. It's still there. So I use that line verbatim in my book, The Greatest Athlete You've Never Heard Of. And my editor found it to be so disgusting that she took it out.
Wow.
She took it out of the book.
Wow.
Okay? The quote became, and other things so terrible we can't include them in this book.
Wow.
My editor. So at the time when he wrote this, how many people were influenced by it? How many people said, oh, yeah, I guess we can call Indigenous persons, persons of color, whatever it is, things like that. Things like the original dummy, which is what Marsh called Longboat. Supposedly he was his friend. He coached him for a couple of years. He even said, oh, he stayed in my house once. But still, in print, the original dummy, wily, unreliable, as hard to train as a leopard. He's talking about him in the sense of him being a second-class citizen. He credits the coaches for getting him to train so he could win that race. But nothing about Longboat and the type of person he was. and his background and his training methods, which seemed to work, right? Even, but of course, the white man was like, oh, you can't train that way. Well, he did pretty well prior to that. So this was the tone at that time when it came to indigenous persons. So why should we tolerate what this man wrote back in the day? We shouldn't, because just like John A. McDonald, we found out stuff many years after he died. And Ryerson and Dundas, we found out stuff many years after he died. And instead of making a knee-jerk decision, do your research. So despite protests from the start that Marsh and Longboat were friends, and they got this line that they send out that's basically, they have no evidence at all that he was racist, and therefore the Lou Marsh Award stays, blah, 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 blah. He was racist. He was very influential. He had a wide audience. And people believed that what he wrote was true. And if he knew these things about the Nazification of Germany and still wrote what he had written, then to me, that's enough of a reason to take the name off the trophy. Okay? And much of this information that I got came from the Literary Review of Canada. They've written about it. And dare I say it, Mike, had Canada, the USA, and Great Britain combined and boycotted those 1936 Olympic Games, I dare say that Hitler and the Nazis may not have achieved the dominance that they did, and perhaps the war may not have taken place at all, or not on the same level that it did, had people stood up in 1933, 34, 35, and the 36 Olympics, and not allowed Hitler and his propaganda machine, the Nazis, to do what they did. So that's all you had to do as a human being to say, no, we can't allow people to go over there when that's the type of environment that's going on. Did we not try to boycott the Beijing Olympics? What about all these other boycotts that were based on the South African apartheid? All these things. Canada didn't do a fucking thing in 1936, despite one of their top reporters, the Toronto Star, and went on to be at the CBC, Matthew Halton, reporting back from Germany. This is what I saw. And these people going, yeah, so what? Let's go to the Olympics.
Well said, Hebsy. Well said. Now, of course, you're right about if we had stood up as a collective in 1936, things could have been different because, of course, it is the policy of appeasement that led to, Hitler's, reign of terror, if you will, because we said, okay, you can have a chunk of Czechoslovakia and you can do this and that. And we allowed certain little things to prevent the big things. But, of course, it you give him an inch, he took a mile, et cetera, et cetera.
So now that we know.
Yeah.
Is it right to ask, continue ongoing discussion? And it's great that you've got your first indigenous person on the panel. But what about the indigenous and the persons of color that have won this award? I reached out to Fergie Jenkins. I asked Damian Warner, who should win it this year as the gold medalist at the Olympics as the decathlete. Anyway, or Andre DeGrasse, perhaps. But anyway, both persons of color, mm-hmm. How they would feel now that they know more about Lou Marsh. How does Fergie Jenkins feel knowing more? How do all the recipients? I asked Bruce Kidd, and he does not refer to it as the Lou Marsh Award. He does not.
Interesting.
He knows.
It would be interesting.
So let's call it the Milt Dunnell Award, the Jim Proudfoot Award, the Randy Starkman Award. It's time.
It's time. It would be interesting to speak to that new Indigenous voter and just ask his or her thoughts on these quotes that you've shared. One last thought, though, for you, Hebsy, is I remember we talked about changing the name Dundas.
Yeah.
I felt it was time, and you were against it, weren't you?
I was against it because, I was there enough evidence? But at the same time, are there others? I mean, in other words, should everything be taken down at the same time? Should it kind of be a committee to go, all right, we've got this guy, that person? Let's sort of make this blanket decision that all of them, their names should be taken down. There's been enough research done. For all I know, there's research being done on many, many people to find out, maybe to cherry pick, but still that's right. Okay by me. If you were a shitty person and you had influence and you influenced others to think the same way you did, okay, over the years, I think that's it's significant enough that you should be able to go back and say, no, this person's name should not be associated with that.
And before we get back to sports and talk some Blue Jays, I just want to address those watching on YouTube. I have reports that there might be a clicking sound on the live stream, but I'm just going to assure the people who are listening to the YouTube stream that there is no clicking sound on the recording. So the podcast recording will be clean and pristine and will sound as good as it sounds in my headphones right now. So just
you mean like this?
I don't know, because I'm not listening to the live stream. I'm listening to you live. So I'm just getting reports on YouTube here.
It's not a metronome in the background. It's a clicking sound. All right.
Go ahead.
Baseball.
Yes.
More accolades for the Toronto Blue Jays. I didn't think this was possible. This is the greatest team that ever played a game that never made the playoffs. Honest to God. Cy Young, MVP, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, everything except the playoff position. Vladdy Guerrero, Marcus Semien, and Teoscar Hernandez all named Silver Slugger Award winners yesterday, meaning they were the best hitters at their position in the American League. So 30% of the Silver Slugger winners came from the Blue Jays.
Wow.
Wait, what am I saying? Not even, no. 3 out of 9, 33%.
Right.
Because there's 9 hitters. I was thinking the DH and adding. Anyway, 33% of Silver Slugger winners, Blue Jays. I don't have to say anything else.
That's amazing. Next stop, is the playoffs.
Well, next stop is sign Marcus Semien.
Right.
So anyway, the top free agents as of right now in baseball, Carlos Correa, shortstop. Corey Seager, shortstop. Freddie Freeman, first baseman. Chris Bryant, third baseman. Could play the outfield too. Max Scherzer, right-hand pitcher. Marcus Semien, second baseman, Gold Glove winner, or shortstop, which he prefers. Trevor Story, another shortstop. Kevin Gausman, right-hand pitcher. Robbie Ray, left-hand pitcher. And Starling Marte, outfielder. Pretty good crop. And again, Robbie Ray's going to command some big dough. Mm-hmm. Don't know if the Jays can re-sign him. Don't know if they want to at that price, whatever that price is. But you got to have Semien. And you got to know that Semien wants to play in Toronto. And if you know that, you got to offer him the moon. And he deserves it.
Let's hope they do it, man. Do you think the Edward Rogers situation affects us pursuing big price free agents?
Positively.
Because
if there's one thing we know that Edward Rogers loves, it's the Blue Jays. Rogers' communication, not so much.
But you know, but there's reports.
But the Jays, yeah.
There's reports he doesn't like spending big bucks on.
Oh, no. There's reports that he does like spending big bucks. Oh. Right? For example, last year, George Springer.
Sure.
Year before?
That's evidence.
Hyunjin Ryu. That's big bucks.
Okay.
He spent it.
I've heard rumblings. Okay. I hope you're right.
You've heard rumblings.
I've heard rumblings from good sources that, you know, yes, he did sign the checks, those massive checks, of course. That's evidence. But right. But he doesn't like doing that.
Well, let me put it this way to you. If you went as long as he's gone without having fans in the stands, all that money, how do you recoup that? You fill the stands this year. How do you do that? You put the best possible team on the field. You spend the money to make the money. You go and get the free agent. You re-sign Semien, and all of a sudden you've got 5,000 more season ticket holders. Much more demand for tickets.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. The other day I got an email saying spring training tickets are now available. Right? I got the email 20 minutes after it was sent to me. I immediately go to the site because I'm going to Florida this year, and I start ordering tickets. And they give you a nice diagram of what tickets are available at these prices. You know, you run your mouse over it. These are $28. These are $35. I'm in my glory. Man, as I'm starting to pick tickets out, sold out. That part sold. Not completely, but the best seats, obviously, have already been taken. I've known for 20 minutes. I get tickets to 4 games. Snap them up. Can hardly wait. It's going to be fantastic because for the first time since I don't know when, you can see these guys up close in a relaxed type of atmosphere and then get the feeling of what it's going to be like following them for 162 games in the regular season as they try to make amends for what happened last year and the year before, not playing at home, not being comfortable, you know, all that stuff. No more excuses. spend the money, put the best team possible out there, and knock off Tampa and Boston and the Yankees. Show them what's right.
Hebsy, I'm not your accountant, but just remember, those are business expenses because you host a sports podcast.
Oh, thanks. The only thing is I have to do the podcast when I'm down there?
No, you're gathering intel. Like, you don't actually have to do it from down there. You're going down there to gather intel to bring to the Hebsy on Sports listenership. I'm being serious. This is a page out of the Howard Berger playbook. This is totally a business expense. I'm not kidding.
The tickets.
Yeah. Anything related to
you. What about the accommodations?
I'm pretty sure. Talk to your accountant. Airfare. I'm not your accountant. Talk to your accountant. But I believe it could be used as a business expense on your taxes.
I would have to get a credential from Rich Griffin of the Blue Jays.
I don't even think you have to.
Wonder if I could get one. Well, I'm here as the correspondent for Hebsy on Sports.
Right. You ask. They give the Athletic a bunch of... Why? If they give the Athletic the stuff, athletic. They should give Hebsy
on
Sports.
Are they still in business?
I believe so.
They don't have any baseball writers. They got rid of them all, didn't they?
Right.
Stoughton, gone. John Lott, gone. What's her name? Gone.
Right. Well, they got to...
They're all gone.
I do know they are in some, they are hemorrhaging cash over there, but they're still in business, buddy. And so are you. So let's use that to your advantage financially.
Okay. Canada gets Costa Rica tonight in Edmonton as World Cup qualifying continues in the CONCACAF group. That's the North American and Central American group of nations that are going to be allowed into the big World Cup.
Real.
But first, you got to qualify through your regional area. So Canada's unbeaten in 6 games, currently hold down third place in the group with 10 points. Costa Rica is fifth in the group with 6 points. By the way, tonight, the USA and Mexico as well. That's huge, massive. They're expecting 40,000 fans at Edmonton's Commonwealth Stadium tonight, half of whom are related to or friends of Alphonso Davies.
It's amazing. It's amazing what a local star can do.
I want to be related to him. Like, it's like, no, I'm his eighth cousin once removed.
Wow, 40,000
on that fan club.
I bet you there's times that Canada has played these internationals in at Commonwealth Stadium in front of 400 fans. Like,
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, it depends who you're playing, right?
They have played some games there in Edmonton. But they got some decent crowds. Depends on the time of year. But also, this is football weather for these folks, and this is football they're playing. Costa Rica, not used to playing in the cold weather. So let's hope for like really cold weather, like really cold. So the Costa Ricans kind of go, if they give up the first goal, they just give up. They just want to get warm. Because when we go down there, you know, into the jungles in Costa Rica and El Salvador, and when we go down there, it's going to be difficult for our team. They're going to have the home pitch advantage. So we've got to win these home games.
Hey, quick tax tip from Phil Parkinson on your YouTube channel. He's an accountant, apparently. He's a tax pro. I'm not going to say accountant. He's a tax pro. He says, do a podcast from Florida, like, because you got to be able to prove that it helps you earn income by taking that trip. So do something live from spring training, and that'll cover it for you.
I'm going from the 7th of March to the 18th.
Well, there's going to be at least one Friday in there because it's impossible not to have a Friday.
Get the calendar out here.
All right. This is awesome. I love it. I love it. Gene Velitis, this is he says 1 degree tonight in Edmonton. 1 degree.
Well, that's good. Okay. March. Okay. So the Monday to Sunday. So the 11th of March, I'm going to do a podcast. The 18th, I can't because I'm traveling that day home.
This is 20.
The 11th, Friday the 11th.
Let your accountant know.
My accountant's probably listening right now.
Love it.
John, this is what I'm doing. Okay. Expect the receipts.
And this is all legit. I should point out, we're not trying to pull a fast one here. This is all on the up and up. This is all legitimate and true. This is really what you do. We're doing it now. This is a sports podcast. You being there adds some incredible insight. You'll be, like you said, you'll be closer to the players in a relaxed environment. Right. That's key.
I spoke to Vladimir Guerrero today in Spanish and English, and he told me, all right, NFL last night, Miami Dolphins beat the Baltimore Ravens 22-10. Bit of a shocker there, although nothing should shock you in the NFL these days after what happened with the Bills in Jacksonville. Baltimore now falls to 6-3. The Fish are 3-7. More great games this weekend, including the Bills, hopefully bouncing back with a win against the Jets, the J-E-T-S Jets in New Jersey. Bills favored by 12 points. Does everyone who's not from New Jersey, when they say New Jersey, they say New Jersey? Is it sort of an automatic, where you're from?
Bada bing, bada bing.
The bada bing. Been watching that into season 5 now. And I saw it originally, I had to watch it once a week when
right.
it aired.
Right.
Right. So now we're binge watching it. And I said to my girlfriend, you don't know what it's like. You can just press play and watch the next episode. Back in the day when it was airing live on HBO on Sunday nights, I had to wait a week to see the next episode.
Dude, I had my buddy who was living in the States at the time. He was recording them to VHS and when he, bringing the VHS cassettes to me because I didn't get HBO when they started. Anyway, I will just say that.
I did too.
That's my second favorite show of all time, The Sopranos.
But The Wire is number one?
Wire 1, Sopranos 2, and I love 6 Feet Under. That's my third favorite show, if you're keeping
You know what? They would be in my top 10, all three of them, for sure. The Bills favored by 12 points against the Jets. And the aforementioned Aaron Rodgers could possibly rejoin the Packers tomorrow, Saturday, provided he passes COVID protocol. Rodgers has been participating in team meetings via Zoom, while last week's starter, Jordan Love, has taken all the snaps in person in anticipation of starting against Seattle. So there's a whole clusterfuck in Green Bay. Will he be able to rejoin the team? If he does, how's he going to be greeted by his teammates, the fans? If he doesn't, makes it even more difficult for the Packers. More people pointing the finger going, what are you doing, Rodgers? You're killing us. Brett Favre would have never done this. Although I think Brett Favre might have. You know, I really think Brett Favre might have been the kind of guy to go, I ain't taking no vaccine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
Go ahead. I was going to say that, the thing, we kind of like, we sit in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and we're shaking our head. But I bet you there's a good percentage of the fan base that are applauding him on this and that he's standing up for his human rights. I bet you there's a lot of people who...
No, they want the Packers to win. They're Packer fans before they're Aaron Rodgers fans. They're Packer fans first.
The uniform first, right. You cheer for laundry, as Jerry Seinfeld says.
It's true. It's the jersey. The name on the front of the jersey as opposed to the back, blah, blah, blah. But I do believe that if you're a Packer fan and you've been a Packer fan prior to Aaron Rodgers arriving and you will still be a Packer fan after he leaves, that the team comes first and winning comes first. And if he's not playing because he hasn't been vaccinated and you have been, for sure, you're siding with the Packers. And if you haven't been vaccinated, you can feel his pain maybe, but not to the point where he's going to miss a game, because you being unvaccinated, you're not missing a game. You can't go into the stadium to watch, but you can still root for the team.
Shout out to Bart Starr.
Bart Starr. In tennis, second seed Felix Auger-Aliassime takes on third seed Denis Shapovalov today in the semifinals of the Stockholm Open. One thing we know, there will be a Canadian in the finals. Francis Tiafoe of the United States takes on fellow American Tommy Paul in the other semi, which got me thinking. You got two Canadians playing each other, two Americans playing each other. Can we get these guys to play doubles against each other as well, as long as you're doing that? Or should we just say, no, have the Canadian play the American there and the Canadian play the American there. And while you're at it, have Canada and the United States play in women's hockey. Because those are the...
Right.
That's the matchup. The only matchup I want to see in Canadian hockey with women is Canada-US.
Agreed. Agreed.
By the way, would you support a WNBA team in Toronto? Well,
define support. Like
buy tickets. Merchandise. Follow the games.
Undecided at this point. What about you? Would you buy merch, buy a ticket to see them?
No, I wouldn't, because I don't know enough about the league. And I also... don't know. Like if Drake said, you know what, man, I got dough. I got money in my pocket. I'm buying the team. That in of itself and the marketing machine, which Drake's company, you know, can generate.
OVO.
Right. Yeah. I might get caught up in that wave of enthusiasm. But, you know, when the Argos tried to sell tickets, when John Candy and Wayne Gretzky and Bruce McNall bought the team, you know, they brought the Blues Brothers to town to play concerts. They brought all these Hollywood stars. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some star power there, man.
But remember, the big thing they did was...
You need Drake to bring people up here. get Charles Barkley up here. Get people up here that people are going to want to see.
But the biggest hype around that team, and I was into it as well, was bringing Rocket Ishmael up here. Like, you'd have to get Kia Nurse on this team.
I think that would be a huge move. But for Drake to be going, looking around going, yeah, man, let's get somebody. Dude, who's got more money than you? And how much can it cost for a WNBA franchise? And you're not going to make that money up in marketing alone? Come on. Drake.
Well, then if he buys the team, he's going to have to show up to the games, and maybe he doesn't want that obligation.
Obligation?
Yeah. Like, it would be awkward if Drake came to Raptor games, but not to the WNBA team that he owns. He'd have to actually show up courtside, I would think.
No, he wouldn't, and that's just it. By association, by the National Basketball Association's association with the Women's National Basketball Association, and Drake's association with both associations... It's a natural fit. He's already a member of the NBA, you know, Glitter Eye or whatever it is.
Right.
And now the WNBA will be powered by the NBA, because all basketball fans, female or male, are NBA fans first. And if the NBA is supporting the WNBA, then you're going to want to see what's going on. You're going to want to watch.
But do you go to Raptors 905 games?
No.
Because that's a similar spirit there. There's an association there.
Their games aren't on national television in the U.S.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, in golf, it's the Houston Open. 5 men tied for the lead after opening round 65s. Top Canadian, Ben Silverman from Thornhill, fired a 367. Nick Taylor shot 68. Many in the field did not complete their rounds, including Mackenzie Hughes, Roger Sloan, and Adam Svensson. Taylor Pendrith shot a 5 over 75. The tournament continues this weekend. Yesterday was the 25th anniversary of the Felix Potvin, Ron Hextall fight in Philadelphia. I was there sitting next to Joe Bowen. And let me tell you, we were surprised. We didn't know Felix had that in him. He kicked the snot out of Hextall. It was great. But the best part was after the game, even though the Leafs lost the game, as the team bus is leaving, and remember, the team bus is underground, like, you know, down in the garage of the, I think it was called the Core States Center. It was the first time the Leafs played there. They had been in the Spectrum prior to that. I think it was called the Core States Center. It's now the Wells Fargo Arena. So the bus is parked underneath, right next to the dressing room there, down there. Everybody gets on. We come up the ramp, and there's all these Flyer fans throwing stuff at the bus, demanding Felix. Like, bring us the head of Felix Potvin. And they were mad. And they're throwing, and it was a bit scary there for a second. We thought that they might, you know, jump in and try to tip the bus over or whatever. And let me tell you, it was like everybody was still on a high from what Felix had done to Hextall, right? He was a hero. And as this bus is going through, Potvin, the look on his face was like he was like, there's the man. There's America's Philly's most wanted.
Wow.
And he had this smile on his face like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I kicked the shit out of your goalie. That's right. And everybody was like, yeah, Felix, go Felix. Because I don't think any player on the team, as I recall, had any idea that Potvin had that fight in him.
None of us did.
So everybody was like, holy shit, Felix, did you just see what you did to Ron Hextall?
Amazing. You know,
Hextall, remember, Hextall went skated all the way down the ice to get at Felix.
Right.
Felix didn't go after Hextall. Hextall went all the way down, and Felix was like, all right, he doesn't know about me. Switched hands on him a couple of times.
You know, it's wild, this fan base, and I'm one of them, of course, but these Leaf fans, we have so little to like latch on to that we do celebrate the 25th anniversary of Felix Potvin beating Ron Hextall in a fight, in a game we lost, a regular season game we lost. Like, it gets elevated because we don't have actual like Stanley Cup memories.
No, but we got footage.
Yeah, I know.
And when
people
see it,
yeah, right.
In that condensed form,
right.
It's like, oh, great. Like, how long? What am I looking at? 30 seconds, a minute's worth of video? Anyone can do that standing on their head nowadays.
Right.
And any excuse. It's the 25th anniversary. It's the 9-month anniversary. It's the, you know, you can find a way to post something. You know, and by the way, along the same lines, how about this posting?
Wow.
We went off the air, I guess, the day later. Angelo Mosca passed away, 84 years old, had been suffering from dementia. I think it was Alzheimer's. But I had done one of the last good interviews with Angelo Mosca when I was working at CHCH. His son, Angie Jr., called me, said, you know, Dad is starting to, he's starting to lose it. The stories he used to be able to tell are a little more difficult. This might be a good opportunity to come and do maybe the exit interview because he's getting progressively worse. So I went down with the camera and he's living in Port Dalhousie at the time, right on the water, beautiful little place. And they're expecting us at whatever time it was. We knock on the door. Yeah, come in. It's Angelo. He's sitting on his couch, completely naked, right? This guy's like 300 pounds. And I'm like, Ange, what are you doing? He's going, oh, I didn't know you were coming. And throws a robe on, that kind of a thing. And he just wasn't right. And he needed some help from his son in answering some of the questions. And it was kind of a painful interview to do because he'd be going along remembering things and then he would forget and he'd have to look towards his son who would kind of fill in the blanks. And so I knew that it wasn't going to get any better. And I had heard from some people, actually one of our listeners who had worked at the long-term care home that Angelo Mosca was in, that nobody came and visited him over the last few months of his life. It's kind of sad.
That's a terrible disease, Hebsy. And it is tough for family members too, because when you walk in, even if you're seeing your dad thinks you're like one of the nurses or something, has no idea it is tough for everybody. What a horrible disease.
So I would have run this interview on today's show had it happened in the last couple of days, but I decided that, I guess it was last Saturday or Sunday, that I would find the interview that I had done from 20 years ago at the Fergie Jenkins golf tournament. It's about a 3-4 minute interview where he's glib and articulate and funny, well-spoken, the Angelo Mosca of 20 years ago. Right. And I took the audio from that. I found some video and some pictures of Angelo Mosca as a football player and as a wrestler and put them into this video, which has gotten a lot of hits on YouTube. It's an Angelo Mosca tribute. And that's how I remember him. Good storyteller. Full of himself in a lot of ways, but in a fun way. And he really wanted the Canadian Football League to not survive, but flourish. But they wouldn't allow him to. They were afraid that Angelo Mosca wasn't the right spokesperson for the league. You know, and I think that really hurt him because he felt he had done a lot for the league and he was a well-known figure. And yet, he didn't get the respect from the Canadian Football League that he felt he deserved. It's kind of too bad. And before we go, PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, midfielder Aminata Diallo, this is a woman, was arrested after a teammate who had taken her starting spot was beaten by masked men. That's right, pulled from a car that was driven by Diallo and beaten by masked men. So the first thing I thought of was Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. Right. Like this girl got her spot taken over by another girl on Paris Saint-Germain and she didn't like it and she had the other girl whacked or beaten up or whatever it was. Anyway, Diallo has since been released from custody because they, you know, kind of drew a line from one to the other. She had motive, but there's no evidence to suggest at all that she was responsible. But it does bring up the question, who's doing that? Like, was it a random carjacking or something? Or did they know exactly who this was and they're going to beat her up? Weird, eh?
What country is this again?
France. Well, in France, you're allowed to hold people in custody for not for no particular reason, but if you have the slightest bit of suspicion.
Citizens arrest, I think, or something.
No, yeah, this was the cops. Okay. But still, they were like, wait a second, we're going to hold you in custody before we can eliminate you as a suspect. But it looks, you know, look, she took your job. You're upset. She got whacked. You know, put two and two together. Anyway, more on the story as it develops. And that's it for episode 258 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks, as always, to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at torontomike.com. And thanks to you for allowing us into your headspace. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you next Friday. Back with another exciting episode then. Until then, so long for now. This podcast has been produced by TMDS and accelerated by Rome Phone. Rome Phone brings you the most reliable virtual phone service to run your business and protect your home number from unwanted calls. Visit romephone.ca to get started.